Good morning. Good to see you in the house of the Lord here in person and also joining us online. On another beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. His mercies definitely remain new each and every day, including today. Are you a trusting person? Do you have trust issues? Does it depend on the circumstances or the person you are speaking with or dealing with? One too many fish stories, not backed up by pictures, can lead to a lack of trust in that individual. The ability to trust is so vital when it comes to multiple aspects of our life, including spiritual. Thankfully, we have a God we can trust. The proof is before us once again this morning. Let's get to that proof. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is a great God, the great King of all gods.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us worship him.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love, not that we love.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and but I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through His called servant. All your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
All that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all Your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from Your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of Your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by Your power and keep us in Your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
Thank you.
In bringing Reese to holy baptism, you are observing the will of our Lord, who instituted baptism, saying in the last chapter of Matthew, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." We learn from the Word of God that since Adam's fall into sin, all people are conceived and born in sin, and so are under the wrath of God, and would be lost forever unless delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ. Reese then is also by nature sinful and under the wrath of God. But the Father of all mercy and grace has promised and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who has borne the sins of the whole world and redeemed and saved little children, no less than others, from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. Thus, we can never sufficiently thank God that in baptism He has given a means whereby He works in little children His divine grace, turning their hearts to faith, cleansing them from their sins, and receiving them into His family. The simple act of baptism has such wonderful power because the Almighty God works in it through His Word. It is the divine Word which makes baptism, the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, as the Apostle Paul describes it in the Epistle of Titus. For this reason, Christ says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." It is good and right, therefore, that we should hear in the sight of God and this congregation, administer this sacrament in the fear of God, and with due reverence and sincere devotion. Reese received the sign of the cross and the heart, signifying that you have been redeemed by Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. Dear parents, our Lord Jesus Christ, in instituting baptism, not only commanded that children should be baptized, but also that they should be taught to observe everything which He has commanded us. I therefore encourage you to bring up Reese in the way of the Lord, to recognize that it is your solemn and primary responsibility to instruct her diligently in the truths of God's saving word, and to this end make faithful use of the assistance offered by the church. It is your solemn duty to encourage her by your own word and example, to use God's word so that she may grow in faith, serve God with a Christian life, and remain in her baptism of grace all the days of her life. If you are willing to do this, then answer yes, and I ask God to help me.
Yes, I ask God to help me.
Dear
God, parents, you're here to bear witness to the fact that Reese is being baptized in the name of the triune God and thereby possesses the saving faith in the one true God and renounces the devil and his wicked works. It shall be your privilege and responsibility to remind her of her baptism and, as far as possible, to give your counsel and aid that she may be brought up in the true knowledge and fear of God according to the teachings of the Scriptures as confessed by our Lutheran Church and be kept in her baptismal grace unto the end. If you are willing to do this, then answer yes.
Yes.
Reese Kelly Chapman, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oops. That went somewhere. There it is. Yeah. Thanks. It's all good, right? Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you rebirth by water and the Holy Spirit, and has forgiven all your sins, protect and preserve you in all your ways, and strengthen you with His grace unto life everlasting. Peace be with you. Amen. Dear members of St. Mark's, Reese has now, by holy baptism, become a member of Christ and of this congregation. In obedience to the will of our Lord, who said, "Feed my lambs," it is your solemn obligation to assist these parents in every way possible in the spiritual training of this child, that she may be brought up to lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. If this you are willing to do, then answer yes, and I ask God to help me.
Yes, I ask God to help me.
We pray. Almighty and merciful God, we thank you for graciously preserving and extending your church, and that you have granted Reese the new birth and holy baptism, and made her a member of your dear Son, our Lord, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We pray that you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure, she may be faithfully brought up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And to help remember and celebrate Reese's baptism, receive this candle, which symbolizes Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and has brought through this baptism, given Reese, the light of faith. A faith which to light the way, not only for herself, but also others. God's grace and peace be with you and Reese always. We continue with the singing of the hymn as printed for us on page 7. On this Sunday of Easter, reading from Holy Scripture from the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, even though the world may reject the solution, which is Jesus, that doesn't change the fact that there is no other way. We hear these words, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join together in singing our psalm for today, Psalm 118. God's mercy has connected us to himself, and he is the one who gives our life purpose. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next song will join the vocalists on the refrains following verses 4 and 5.
Thank you.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading for today. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 14th chapter, where Jesus makes it clear that he is the way and that there is no other. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please, as we continue with our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance. And this is from God our Father and through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to the Gospel of John, where we hear these words. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed is the way, the truth, and the life we need now and for all eternity. Again, we ask, do you have trust issues? All of us, in one way or another, have trust issues, not necessarily for the same reasons. A good number of us have witnessed and or experienced some horrible things during our time here on earth that leads to those trust issues. Trust can be restored. It takes time. It takes effort. What we have trust in, however, is key. And what we have trust in, well, it can either grow, increase, or it can lessen over time, depending on what is happening. For example, banks as of late have caused some people to be less trusting of the banking institution. But that's a reminder that our trust should never really, in one way, be in the things of this world. Now, that is not speaking ill of banks or other human institutions. It's just a fact. Because human institutions come and go. And because of the human element involved, well, those institutions are subject to fail or just go away. The same can be said, to one degree or another, about visible churches. So instead of throwing trust out the window, we need to recognize that we do need trust. Again, what we trust in is the key. Today we are given another reminder of where our trust needs to be and why that is to be the case. Truth, we are reminded of, brings about trust. And one truth in particular brings about the trust, the belief that we need. At the heart of that truth is Jesus and his statement where he says without apology, and rightly so, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He is the way to heaven. It does exist. And as Jesus describes heaven, he reminds us that it's a permanent location. It's not a fifth wheel that can be moved about. It's permanent. And it's vast. There are many rooms where Giant fans and Brewer fans can be together in perfect harmony. Maybe not here on earth, but in heaven. Many rooms. Too many to count will be there. Revelation 7 reminds us of the fact that there will be people from all walks of life, all skin color will be there in heaven, for the gospel is intended for all people. God does not put limits on who it is for. It is meant for all. All to enjoy the mansion of heaven, which we cannot really fully grasp what that is like. I mean, we may have gone to Hearst Castle and been impressed, but even more so. And what's even key about that? There's no maintenance necessary when it comes to the mansion of heaven. We won't be bored there, even though we're not exactly sure everything that we will be doing in heaven, but we know we'll be in the presence of God and we'll be at peace and there will be joy and we'll all be singing on key and from the heart with one another. But the key to get there is Jesus. And as we noted last week and before and emphasized already again today, Jesus makes no apologies for the fact that there is no other way to heaven. Even though society tells us differently, not just society, but how many churches have fallen away from the truth of Jesus to accommodate to society's whims and wishes, and really then have made the church just another social club option rather than a place to find the truth and the way and the life. All beliefs do not lead to the same place. That's a fallacy. Because what is at the heart of all beliefs outside of legitimate Christianity? And we need to use the term legitimate Christianity now because too many have hijacked Christianity for their own purposes. We need to separate the visible churches that have gone astray from the invisible church of whom only God knows belongs. But wherever the means of grace are preached according to Christ, we can find that church. Whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. But what do those belief systems outside of legitimate Christianity have in common? Something you have to do. Which then begs the question, have you done enough? Can you be certain that you have done enough? I mean, God still has the expectation, be perfect. 100%, 99%, 99.9 is not perfect. It might be a passing grade in school. Even 68% might be a passing grade in school today. But it's not when it comes to God, and rightly so. He is a holy God who does not lessen his expectations despite what belief systems might say. Because again, if it depended on us, we would fall way short as we reflect on the fact of the sins that we commit day in and day out in our thoughts and in our words and our actions. We fail miserably, unfortunately, in showing love to God 100% of the time, in showing love to parents and family members and to friends and coworkers. Sometimes it doesn't take much to set us off and have a blue streak come out of our mouth, defaming God's name in the process and not giving a good witness to God? Why should I listen to you about any advice you have about godly living when you yourself take your God's name in vain? If you don't have respect for him, why should I have respect for him? On our own, we fail miserably. The way to heaven, to salvation, to a oneness with God, has been communicated clearly in the pages of Scripture and has stood the test of time, and test after test has been thrown at it, and it's still here. It's been communicated clearly, as Scripture says, call on the name of the Lord. Whoever calls on him will be saved. These things about Jesus are written that you may believe that he is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Go, God, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There is no other name under heaven given to human beings by which we must be saved. The message has been communicated. Jesus said to his disciples in answer to the question, not I will show you the way, I am the way. He is the one who is with one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. You want to get to know what God is like? God the Father, God our Creator, by whom all things exist and continue to exist, because it's not just by accident or some theory that human beings came up with. God is behind the theory that keeps things going in this world. If you want to get to know God, get to know Jesus, and get to know Jesus through the pages of Holy Scripture. What is Jesus like? What did he do while he was here in the flesh on this earth? He exuded power. He exuded humility. He was kind and loving and compassionate when people would put him to the test. He did not lash out at them, even though he could have. He kept his saber in his pocket and said, why do you say that? He was speaking the truth in love. And to the adulterous woman, go and sin no more. Who of us can cast a stone at somebody else? While we are to point out sin, we are to make sure that we ourselves are not committing that same sin or some other grievous sin unrepentant. Repentance is for us too. We like to picture society as God is this angry and jealous God, and to a degree he is, and rightly so, but what did he do in his anger over sin? He promised a Savior. And instead of asking us and putting us on the cross, he put his Son on the cross. What kind of angry God does that? He's a God of grace and mercy who doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. So we want to get to know what God is like, what true love is like, what compassion is like. Look to Jesus. Jesus does discipline as well. He disciplines us to keep us on track on the path which leads to heaven. Because he knows what direction we are going. And if we are going in a direction that's going to lead us away, he puts roadblocks in the way. We might get mad at those roadblocks because we thought we were having fun and doing the right thing. But then, Lord willing, the eyes of faith wake up and we go, "Ah, Lord, thank you." Like the song says, thank God for unanswered prayers, because sometimes we're not always praying for Jesus to lead us in the right way. But he does. Yet there are still those who want to deny Jesus and Christianity. Some will just refer to him as a prophet, a role model, someone to imitate, but not as the Savior of the world. And some of that will come from the fact that there is terrible things taking place in this world, there is no doubt. And so God gets the blame, but God is not the issue. God has made it clear why there are harsh things taking place in our world. He said, with disobedience and sin comes consequences. I've given a way to deal with that sin and to lessen those consequences, but if you ignore those, that's not on him, that's on us. So again, God is not the issue. The change we need is not to go further away from God in his word of truth. The change we need in our society and in our churches is to get closer to God and putting his ways into practice. As we follow then his truth, that leads to a trust we need, a trust that comes with benefits. One of the benefits the disciples then received from Jesus telling them the truth about himself was comfort. I mean, they were rattled in a bit. I mean, Jesus is about to go away from them, but they're not comprehending everything that he's telling them and that he's got to go away in order to come back. And so he tells them, "I'm going to be with you a little longer. I won't be with you." And then he tells Peter, "You're going to deny me multiple times." Well, this would rattle anybody. And it rattled his close disciples. And so Jesus says to them, "Peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Continue to trust in me and trust in God, my Father, your Father." And we too need comfort as we go through the challenges and hardships of life. And sometimes we deal with doubts when it comes to, is God even awake? Is he active? And doubts about our own faith. And when we're going through sickness and other trials and tribulations. And when is the Lord coming back? And the Lord says to us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. I've given you the words to have life and peace and comfort and strength now and into eternity." Some people, as we get older, will ask, "Why am I still here?" God has his reasons. You can still pray for others. You can still be a witness. You have the opportunity for people to serve you and to be employed if you're in a home that needs to take care of you. There are reasons we're not always aware of, but we trust that God is aware. And as we trust in God, that in his awareness, that builds confidence through this life. As Peter reminds us by inspiration, God has given us not only identity, he's given us a purpose with his identity, to be his witnesses. And so we can be confident and comforted and trusting on this journey of life, living each day for itself, but also with an eye on what is to come. And as we do that, then we recognize that we are called to be his witnesses. And so Jesus made that reference. Greater things will take place as he sends us out into the world. And what a great thing it is when people, by the work of the Holy Spirit, come to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, even if it's on their deathbed, especially if it's on their deathbed. How many great things have we witnessed throughout our lifetime? And maybe not recognize that it was such a great thing, but take a step back and see how God has used you and his church to do great things in this world. And when we're standing in the mansion of heaven, we'll see the evidence of the work that has been done, the fruit that has been done through your congregation mission offerings, through your prayers, through your witness efforts locally, through your support of mission teams throughout the world. Trust. Trust is the antidote to fear. Not just any kind of trust or in anyone, but a trust in Jesus and the word of truth that he has preserved throughout the ages for our benefit. His word is truth. It speaks to us in the life that we are living today. And that truth leads to a saving and comforting trust with lasting benefits. Dear friends, hold on to this truth as trust in him is really the key to life, now and eternally. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith. It's found for us in the top of page 12. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven,
was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen. Please be seated.
God be praised for the opportunity he gives to us as a congregation to support the work here locally and throughout the world. May God continue to bless the gifts that he gives us for that purpose. We pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people. We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne, and that he intercedes for us in all our needs.
Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with understanding and knowledge of the word of the truth.
Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people.
Hear the prayers of all who were afflicted in the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety. Bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Lord, we reap what we sow. Help us sow generously as you are generous with us. Through you, we have become rich in ways the world on its own will not know or find. Help us use the thank offerings we bring to support the spread of the gospel, so more and more can know what true wealth is and reap a harvest of righteousness. May those able to celebrate another year of grace be able to see your grace abundantly poured out in their life. And for our couples celebrating their wedding anniversary, renew their love in light of your love for each of them. Be with Pat McDonald as she mourns the earthly loss of her mother as of this morning. May your grace and peace continue to wash over her and friends. Thank you for giving Doris the gift of life, a gift which gave her peace throughout her earthly journey. Hear us now, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus. And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
peace and with joy, for you are the peace of God.
Please stand. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Please be seated.
Morning again, Reese. Welcome to the church family. Hey. Connect cards, if you haven't filled one out yet, the blue Connect cards, please take the opportunity to do so, and you can return them in the boxes that are on the wall as you enter the church proper by the single doors, or you can place it in the basket on the table with the lamp on it. Appreciate that. Bible study taking place today in here, the church proper. Augsburg Confession, we're looking at. It starts at 9:30. Sunday School for Children starts at 9:15. We'll start out in the chapel with a sing-along. Everyone's welcome for that sing-along, and then they'll go into their classroom at 9:30. Teens will be in the gathering space upstairs. We do have a confirmation at our late service today. We have three confirmands. Keep them in your prayers. We look forward to welcoming them into the next phase of their spiritual journey. Old Sack Tour is still scheduled for Saturday the 13th, if you want to join us. You can see the weekly news for details. Again, just a reminder, try to sign up for the 2:30 tour. If it's full already, then go for the 2 o'clock, you're encouraged, or take another tour and just meet us there. If you don't, you want to skip the tour and just meet us in Old Sack, you can do that, figure 3:30 in Old Sack, by the Railroad Museum, and then we'll enjoy some food and refreshments in Old Sack after that. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society is asking for your vote for an international board of directors and home and world mission projects, usually two each, two for home, two for world. Information packets with ballots are under the bulletin board there in the lobby. You place one ballot in the box that will be provided, and do this by May 21st is the encouragement. This coming weekend, Martin Luther College, our teacher pastor training school, teachers will be graduating and assigned this coming weekend. If you want to watch it live stream, you're welcome to do so. Go to the Martin Luther College website for details. A little closer to home, Mount Calvary in Reading is asking for a staff minister to help them in their new multi-site ministry, because Anderson joined together with the Reading campus to form one ministry but two locations. And the person who was going to do that, Jake Rothy, took a call to Wisconsin. So Lord willing, they'll get a staff minister assigned to help Pastor Schaefer in those duties. And also they're looking for a teacher for their school. So a little close to home, what's going on there with MLC and graduation. We pray for all the graduates. On that note, have a great day in the Lord. Enjoy the week that he puts before us, staying true to his word. Thank you.